It's 8:37. I'm Lisa Dent, in for Lou Manfredini. It's a beautiful morning in Chicago, and landscaping is an issue that we all got to face. I mean, it's so much more fun in the spring when you're planting and you have something to look forward to. Now it's fall and it's cleanup time. And Mike, you're giving me a hard time because you said, why would you mulch your trees? He's a stickler on this business, isn't he, Jim?
Mike is your yard guy.
Well, you mulch around your tree. You don't mulch your tree because then you don't have a tree. And it just makes sense.
Yeah, isn't mulch made from the tree?
But I do have to say, why do people use that hideous orange mulch?
I don't like that stuff.
It's terrible.
It's almost red, right?
Yes, it's and it never goes with anybody's house that I've seen.
I don't have an answer for you on that. It's a good question.
Everywhere.
Really?
Man, I wish I got stock in it, but I hate that stuff.
Hey, you want to hit the line so we can talk to, is it Joe and Tommy? I don't know if they're both on the phone. Joe, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, you know, I'm new to House Smarts Radio. And so what is the pronunciation of your last name?
Polina.
Joe Polina, how are you today? It's good to talk to you. I do have to say we're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. Do you ever ask people about mulching trees? Because I just got busted about, we don't mulch trees, we mulch around them.
Mulch around them and mulch around the plants. And I agree with Mike, you should mulch your trees and your plants, especially before winter, to help out with the freezing and the thawing. And that orange, disgusting mulch is made from recycled pallets that they spray orange, which is awful.
And it gets all over you, too. If you put your hands on it for a while, your hands get orange.
And you know what? Here's the deal, Joe. I like that black mulch, and the last few times I've had it done, they go, oh, that's not cool. You need to go natural.
Right, because all that stuff is all sprayed on and painted. You want to go with the natural mulch. It decays, and it's better for the plant material because then it turns into a fertile soil that helps out the plants.
Okay. How about the cocoa bean? I used to use that all the time, although your house smells like chocolate for a while, but it seemed to work pretty well.
It does work pretty well, but it's very expensive, difficult to find. And I understand, if a memory serves me, that if the dogs get in there, start eating that stuff, it's also harmful to them.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of it. Yeah, because dogs shouldn't have chocolate. So good note there. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So this is a busy time of year. I would imagine, obviously, summer's your busiest time, Joe. But come fall, everybody wants the cleanup done, right?
Yes, the cleanup is one of the items that we obviously address in the fall. You know, one thing that everybody should keep an eye on is, you know, your plant material. You cut it back now, you cut it back in the spring. The other thing I always tell my customers, contrary to popular belief, the best time of the year to plant is not in the spring. And this year was a perfect example of that. It is actually the fall. It's also a great time if I'm dealing with a bunch of perennials that are overgrown that need to be split. Time to split those and transplant those. Now that they're going dormant is the best time to do that. If you're dealing with things like lilacs or fragrant viburnum, now is the time to do, you know, any cutting back. Yeah, you're going to lose the flowers on it for a year, but the fall is a better time to do that. Because what happens is, if you say, oh, I'm going to do it in the spring, and what happens in Chicago? You get a couple 80-degree days, everything starts budding, and then it's like, oh, it's too late, I can't do it anymore. Yeah. So do it in the fall.
I'm kind of bummed that I got to mow my lawn today. I'm like, wait, I thought I was done with that. And now with this heat, it's just going to grow. TommyPolina.com or 847-698-6868. Tommy and Joe are our landscape experts. So I have those big hydrangeas that everybody hates along my front porch. I love them. Now they're all tipped over and they're brown. I have a friend who believes that you leave them up because they add interest when the snow falls on them during the winter. I'm more of the belief of just cut them back down to the ground and let them grow in the spring.
I got to go with your friend on this one, Lisa. Ah. It's a trend with perennials has been to leave everything up for the winter, and then come springtime, you cut them back. Now, you probably have what is called as the Annabelle hydrangea, which is a large white flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Incredible, which is also the same family. But just be careful because some people have the endless summers, and they cut them back in the fall. And then they wonder why they don't have any flowers in the springtime. Mm. So you have to be careful what you're cutting back and what you don't.
What can we do about poison ivy? I am covered in poison ivy, Joe. I mean, nobody even wants to landscape because it's such an issue, and it takes a lot of precaution.
Well, I know what you mean. I'm in the area right now. I'm an incorporated Mount Prospect where the back of my property, every year we fight it. And honestly, what we do is we leave it alone until, you know, everything is dormant. And we go there in the winter and we find the root system. We try to dig it up. And then in the springtime, we go back out there. And if I see any remnants, we go ahead and spray it with a non-selective herbicide.
Okay. And so you still have to use the same precaution even when it's dormant, right, if you're pulling up roots?
Yes. Yeah, okay. You should be wearing gloves, long sleeves, you know, everything else. And, you know, if you can, you know, throw everything in the wash or throw it away.
Yeah. Okay.
Because itches are crazy.
Oh.
I know. I'm pretty sensitive to it. I've had it, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, no. I think I'd need like one of those beekeeper costumes to actually even get near it.
I got a hazmat suit.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, exactly. Jack, let's go to line one. Has line one got a landscaping question? It's something about wood. Let's see what they've got to ask about. It's Pat. Pat, how are you today?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You got a question about landscaping, or you got a question for Mike and Jim?
It's for Mike and Jim, I believe. It's concerning kitchen cabinets.
Awesome. Can you hang on and we'll address that? We're just going to finish up talking to Joe here about landscaping, and then we're going to let him go because... So go ahead and hang on, Pat. And so, Joe, what are the other tips for homeowners who are getting ready because winter will be here in the next month or two? And what do we need to do to make sure our yards are in order and taken care of so when spring comes, everything blooms?
Well, besides the strawberry of any cutting back, obviously we have the obvious lawns, okay? So everybody wants a nice, thick, green lawn, and the way to achieve that is with some fall preparation. Now, we already missed the window as far as seeding is concerned, so don't even bother with that anymore. Do that in the spring if you have to. You know, it's never too late to sod, so if your lawn is in really bad shape, you know, don't worry about, you know, the sodding, rooting, because it will root. You know, the other thing also is if you want to sort of, you know, give it a little kickstart, you know, put on some fall fertilizer. You know, give it, you know, some root stimulation. Definitely core aerate. I'm a big advocate of core aerating, loosen up the compaction in the soil, letting the oxygen get in there, letting the fertilizer, you know, get down to the root system. And also look at your lawn. Most lawns don't have a thatch problem, but if you have a thatch problem, you might want to do it in the fall. You know, that's like, people call it as power raking because, again, there's less chance of crabgrass. In the springtime, you just want to go there. You want to put on step one of your fertilizer with the pre-emergent and let the darn thing grow and then cut it. And then the other thing also, which I must mention, is I see this every year. This year, there's been an outbreak of grub worms, and mostly because a lot of clients that have irrigation systems overwater everything. And I always tell my customers, just because you have an irrigation system doesn't mean you need to water Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, it's just twice a week is the best thing to go about it with three-day intervals.
You know what, Joe? I've got a potbelly pig. You can't imagine how many grubs that little creature can absorb in one day, but it results in an overturned lawn. She, like, roots through that whole thing. Yeah. So TommyBellina.com or 847-698-6868. Thank you so much for joining us today, Joe. I love all your information and especially the stuff about the poison ivy.
Yeah.